Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're Masechus Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Gimel, the ninth parak, Mishahaya. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, it was taught in the Brisa that Rebbe holds Chayv Koras Al Rishon and Chayv Koras Al Sheni. That one is Chayv Koras for deliberately failing to bring the first Pesach, and one is Chayv Koras for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Sheni. Rebbe maintains that each of the two Pesachs is an independent Chiyuv and carries a Karas penalty. Rabbi Nassim says one is only Chayv Koras for deliberately failing to bring the first Pesach. Rashi explains that Rabbi Nassim maintains that the second Pesach is merely a substitute for the first Pesach, and therefore doesn't carry the Karas penalty in its own right. Therefore, if he failed to bring the first Pesach b'shogeg, and he deliberately failed to bring a Pesach sheni, he's not Chayv. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says he's not Chayv Koras even for the first Pesach, unless he deliberately did not offer the Pesach sheni either. Rashi explains that he holds that the Pesach Sheni rectifies one's failure to bring the first Pesach, and therefore the Karas violation is not in effect completed until and unless he deliberately fails to bring the Pesach Sheni too. Point number two, the Gemara elaborates on the views of Rebbe and Rabbi Nassim. It was taught in the Braisa, Ger Sheni Zgar ben Shnei Pesachim, a Ger who converted between the two Pesachs, the Kenkatan Shehigdel ben Shnei Pesachim, or a minor reached maturity between the two Pesachs, which Rashi clarifies that he spread up pubic hairs, Chayv lasos Pesach Sheni, or Chayv to bring a Pesach Sheni. Now these are the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Nassim says, Kosha Zakuk Rishon Zakuk Sheni, whoever requires the first Pesach requires a second one, but whoever does not require the first Pesach does not require a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara explains that, as in the previous Malchus between them in regards to the Pesachim, Rebbe holds Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzmahu. Pesach Sheni is a festival in its own right and carries its own Pesach obligation. Rabbi Nassim holds Sheni Tashlumi Derishonhu. Pesach Sheni substitutes for the first Pesach. Therefore, someone who is never required to offer the first Pesach cannot be required to offer a Pesach Sheni. And pointing with you, the next Mishnah states, Ezuhi Derech Rechoka, what is the measure of a distant road, meaning how far need one be from the base of Migdash to be deferred to Pesach Sheni? Rabbi Kiva says, from the town of Modi'im and beyond, or a similar distance in any direction. Rabbi Yezer says, Mi'iskupas Azara v'ochutz, from the threshold of the Azara and beyond. Now, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda disagree as to how far Modi'im is from Yerushalayim. Ula said, Ezu derech rechoka, what's the definition of a distant road? Kosha ein yachal ikanes b'shah shchita, wherever he is so far that if he had set out at noon, he'll not be able to arrive during the shchita, meaning he'll not arrive before nightfall. But Rav Yehuda said the definition is Kosha in Yachal Kanas B'Shas Achila, wherever he is so far that if he sets out at noon, he'll not even be able to arrive during the time of the eating of the Pesach, which is much later. This would mean Modi'in is further away, according to Rav Yehuda. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in the Brisa that Rebbe holds Chayv Koras Al HaRishon V'Chayv Koras Al Sheni, that one is Chayv Koras for deliberately failing to bring the first Pesach, and one is Chayv Koras for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Sheni. Rebbe maintains that each of the two Pesachs is an independent chiyuv and carries a Karas penalty. Rabbi Nassim says he's only chayav Karas for deliberately failing to bring the first Pesach. Rashi explains that Rabbi Nassim maintains that the second Pesach is merely a substitute for the first Pesach and therefore does not carry the Karas penalty in its own right. Therefore, if he failed to bring the first Pesach b'shogeg and he deliberately failed to bring a Pesach sheni, he's not chayav. Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya says he's not chayav Karas even for the first Pesach unless he deliberately did not offer the Pesach sheni either. Rashi explains that he holds that the Pesach Sheni rectifies one's failure to bring the first Pesach, and therefore, the Karas violation is not in effect completed until and unless he deliberately fails to bring the Pesach Sheni too. Point number two, the Gemara elaborates on the views of Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim. It was taught in the Braisa, Ger Sheni Zgayer ben Shnei Pesachim, a Ger who converted between the two Pesachs, the Kenkatan Shehigdel ben Shnei Pesachim, or a minor who reached maturity between the two Pesachs, which Rashi clarifies that he spread up pubic hairs, Chayv Lasos Pesach Sheni, a Chayv to bring a Pesach Sheni. These are the words of Rebbe. Rabbi Nassim says, Kosha Zakuk Rishon Zakuk Sheni. Whoever requires the first Pesach requires the second one. Whoever does not require the first Pesach does not require a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara explains that, as in the previous Malchus between them in regards to Pesachim, Rebbe holds Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzmahu. Pesach Sheni is a festival in its own right and carries its own Pesach obligation. Rabbi Nassim holds Sheni Tashumi Derishonu. Pesach Sheni substitutes for the first Pesach. Therefore, someone who is never required to offer the first Pesach cannot be required to offer a Pesach Sheni. And pointing with me, the next Mishnah states, Ezuhi Derech Rechoka, what's the measure of a distant road, meaning how far need one be from the base of Migdash to be deferred to Pesach Sheni? Mina Modi'im v'lachutz k'midasu kol ruach, dibi Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says, from the town of Modi'im and beyond, or a similar distance in any direction. Rabbi Yezer says, mi'iskupas ha'azor v'lachutz, from the threshold of the Azor and beyond. Now, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda disagree as to how far Modi'in is from Yerushalayim. Ula said, Ezui derech rechoka, what's the definition of a distant road? Kosha ein yachol ikanes b'shas shchita, wherever he is so far that if he set out at noon, he will not be able to arrive during the shchita, meaning he'll not arrive before nightfall. But Rabbi Yehuda said the definition is kosha ein yachol ikanes b'shas achila, wherever he is so far that if he sets out at noon, he will not even be able to arrive during the time of eating the Pesach, which is much later. This would mean Modi'in is further away, according to Rabbi Yehuda. All right, so now we go to our simon for Dav Tzadi Gimel, and our simon is a train chugging along. A train chugging along, Tzadi Gimel. So here goes. The Pesach Sheni train, full of passengers eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, started singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy, who boarded the train at Modi'in. Once again, in slow motion. The Pesach Sheni train, that must mean we're on Dav Tzadi Gimel. The Pesach Sheni train, full of passengers eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, which reminds us of the three-way machlokes regarding the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Rebbe holds one is chayiv kares for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Rishon, and is similarly chayiv for not bringing the Pesach Sheni. Rebbe Nassan holds one is only chayiv for deliberately failing to bring a Pesach Rishon, and Rebbe Chananya ben Akavya holds one is not chayiv kares even for the first Pesach, unless he deliberately did not offer the Pesach Sheni either. So the Pesach Sheni train full of passengers, eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, started singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy. Which reminds us, the Gemara elaborates on the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim with the case of a ger that conversed between the two Pesachs and the boy who became a bar mitzvah between them. Rebbe holds their chayiv to bring a Pesach Sheni because Sheni regal bifnei atzmahu. Pesach Sheni is an independent regal, whereas Rebbe Nassim holds they're not chayiv since the Sheni is a tashlumin of the Rishon. So the Pesach Sheni train full of passengers, eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares, started singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy, who boarded the train at Modi'in. Which reminds us, in the next Mishnah states, what's the measure of a derech rechoka, a distant road, meaning how far need one be from the base of Migdash to be deferred to Pesach Sheni? So Rabbi Kiva says, from the town of Modi'in and beyond, or a similar distance in any direction. Rabbi Gezer says, Miskupas ha'azara b'lechutz, from the threshold of the Azara and beyond. Now, Ula and Rabbi Yehuda disagree as to how far Modi'in is from Yerushalayim. Ula said, what's the definition of a distant road? Wherever he's so far that if he set out at noon, he'll not be able to arrive during the shechita, meaning that he'll not arrive before nightfall. Rav Yehuda said the definition is wherever he is so far that if he sets out at noon, he'll not even be able to arrive during the time of eating the Pesach, which is much later. This would mean Modi'in is further away, according to Rav Yehuda. So once again, the Pesach Sheni train full of passengers eager to fulfill their chiyuv and not be chayiv kares started singing Mazel Tov to the newly converted ger and bar mitzvah boy, board the train at Modi'in. All right, now it's time for a four-block-back chazara. Daf Pei Tes, so the Simon Pei Tes is a pot. We use a chalom pot. So here goes. At the annual first brother to get to the chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, chalom pot, that must mean we're in Daf Pei Tes. At the annual first brother to get to the chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, which reminds us, the Mishnah states, if one says to his sons, I'll shech the Pesach for the first one of you to go up to Yerushalayim, as soon as the first one put his head and the greater part of his body inside the city, Zacha Bechelku Mezaka Es Echav Imo, he acquires his portion and gains portions for his brothers along with him. The Gemara infers from here that Yesh Brera, there's retroactive determination, and therefore, although the father did not know which son to register at the time of the Shechita, it's valid. Rabbi Yochanan rejected this inference and said, Kedei Lazarzim B'mitzvahs Ka'amar. The father said this to his sons only to be Mezarz them in the performance of mitzvahs, but in fact, he had registered all of them. So at the annual first brother to get to the chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Nimnim emoshkin es yedem yimenu ad shiyishached. People can be registered for the Pesach or withdraw from it until it's shechted. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, ad shiyizarek as adam, until the Kohen does rik as adam. Abai said the Malchokas only applies to withdrawing from it. For the Rabbanim maintained that the Pasuk Miyos Meseh, they withdraw from being for a lamb, is interpreted as teaching that one can only withdraw Mechayuse de Seh, from the life of the lamb, meaning while it's still alive. Rabbi Shimon interprets the Pasuk Mehaviyase de Seh, from the circumstances of the lamb, meaning as long as the avod is still being performed with it. So at the annual first brother to get to the chalom pot in Yerushalayim race, one of the brothers withdrew his registration before they shechted the lamb, because he knew the other brothers would tell him to leave and eat on his own because he had refined hands. Which reminds us, the Gemara inquires, B'nei chabur shehu yadav shel echo mehen yafos. If one of the members of a group has refined hands, which Rashi explains is a euphemism, and it means in this case that he's eating larger amounts of food faster than the other members of the group, can they tell him, take your due portion and leave? The Gemara concludes that they can and say to him, when we accepted you, we only did so to rectify the carbon, which Rashi explains to mean that they only invited him so that nothing would be left over and be disqualified as noser, but they judged that he would eat the same as the other people. Dav Tzadi. So the Simmer Dav Tzadi is a tzedakah box. So here goes. The pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box. Tzedakah box? That must mean we're on Dav Tzadi. The pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering, which reminds us, it was Tanya Braisa, the Pasuk states, V'im yimat habayis miyos meseh, if the household is too small for a lamb, then others should also be registered for it. This is interpreted to mean that if one cannot afford the items needed for the lamb, he may sell portions of it and thereby sustain the lamb from the proceeds of the lamb. The Tanya Kama says he may only sell for things required for eating the lamb, but not for other purchases. Rashi explains it can be sold to purchase firewood. Rebbe says he may sell it even to have money required for other purchases. That is that if one does not have enough money for his personal needs, he may register another person with him and the money that come into his possession are chum because it's on these terms that Jews are makdish their Pesach offerings in the first place. This means that one who designates an animal as a Pesach retains it as property so that he can sell it for whatever purposes he likes. So the pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, which reminds us there's a Malchokas Rabbi and Rebbe Zer regarding the dispute between the Tanna Kamma and Rebbe. One holds that everybody agrees that one can sell portions of the Pesach for the purposes of buying wood since it's for the preparations of the Pesach. They disagree regarding purchasing matzah and maror. The Rabbanim prohibit it because they hold it's a different act of eating, whereas Rebbe permits it since it renders a Pesach fit for eating, it's viewed like the Pesach itself. The other one holds that everybody agrees that one may sell portions for matzah and maror, since these foods render the Pesach fit for eating, they're viewed like the Pesach itself. They disagree with regard to someone who needs money with which to buy a shirt or a cloak. So the pauper who was selling portions of his Pesach to purchase wood for the offering was upset that he'd have to rely on collections from the tzedakah box for his matzah and maror, when all of a sudden someone, Tommy from Asheret, said he could have his, since his Pesach was pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Which reminds Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav, we shech the Pesach and throw its blood for a Tfu Yom and a Mechusar Kippurim, but we don't do someone who's a Tamei from Sheretz. Ula said, we do shech the Pesach and throw its blood for someone Tamei from Sheretz. The Gemara goes through a lengthy analysis to explain, according to Rav, what the difference is between a Tfu Yom, who will be fit to partake of the Pesach by nightfall, and the one who's Tamei from Sheretz, who will also be fit by nightfall. Dav Tzadi Ov. So the symbol of Dav Tzadi Ov is an exit sign. So here goes. The prisoner standing under the exit sign. Exit sign? That must mean Ron Dav Tzadi Aleph. The prisoner standing under the exit sign, Erev Pesach, anxiously awaiting to be released from prison, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that we may shech the Pesach for people that might become unfit to partake of the carbon when the time comes to eat it, if they're presently fit to eat it now. But we don't shech the Pesach for them alone out of concern that they may become unfit and invalidate the Pesach. Rather, they may bring it in partnership with others. Rabbi Rav Huna said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan regarding the prisoner that this only applies with regard to a prison of Nachrim, since they cannot be trusted to keep their word. But if he's held in a Jewish prison, we may shech the Pesach for him alone. Since he promised him release, they'll surely release him, as it says in the Pasuk, She'eris Yisrael yasu avlo v'yedavru chazav. The remnant of Yisrael will not perform iniquity and will not speak lies. So the prisoner standing under the exit sign, Erev Pesach, anxiously waiting to be released from prison, saw a commotion in the distance as one individual was about to bring a Pesach. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether a Pesach can be shechted for a single individual. Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot, whereas Rabbi Yossi permits it. The Gemara brings a brisa to the Tot. Where do we know that we cannot shech the Pesach for a single individual? The Torah states, Osucho isboch has a Pesach ba'achet sha'arecha. You may not shech the Pesach in one of your cities. Rashi explains that the superfluous word ba'achet in one is referring to one who wishes to bring a Pesach on his own. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yossi says if a single individual is able to eat it, which Rashi explains means a kazais, then it shecht it for him. Rabbi Yossi learns from that pasuk that the prohibition of shechting a Pesach on a bamas yachid only applies during a period of iser bamas. So the prisoner standing under the exit sign, Erev Pesach, anxiously awaiting to be released from prison, saw a commotion in the distance as one individual was about to bring a Pesach, while a group of women were being told they had to offer theirs as part of a group. Which reminds us, there's a three machlokes regarding women bringing the Pesach. Rav Yudah says, for a woman on Pesach Rishon, we can shech for her alone since it's a chiyuv, but on Pesach Sheni, we make her an adjunct to a group of others, since a Pesach Sheni for her is only a reshus. Rabbi Yossi holds that a woman is chayv in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, so in both cases, the Pesach may be brought for her alone. Rabbi Shimon says that a woman may only be part of a group of others for Pesach Rishon, since it's only a reshus, and she may not be part of a Pesach Sheni at all, even as a reshus. Dav Tzadi Beis. The symbol for Dav Tzadi Beis is a tzav, a turtle. So here goes. The onan who is going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles. Turtles? That must mean we're on Dav Tzadi Beis. Tzav. The onan who is going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, which reminds us, the next mission at the bottom of Dav Tzadi Alpha and Beis states that an onan immerses and eats his Pesach after nightfall on the day of the death of his close relative, but may not partake of other kachim on that night. And the Gemara asks what the reason is for permitting to eat the Pesach but no other kachim. And the answer is, Kasabra Aninas Dalayo de Rabbanin. It's because our Mishnah holds that the state of Aninus on the night following the death is only the Rabban. So in the case of the Pesach, the Rabban did not establish the Gezerah in the face of a mitzvah which carries with it a penalty of Karas. But in the case of other Kachim, where eating them is only a mitzvah zaseh, they did establish their Gezerah. So the Onan, who was going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, felt bad that the Ger who converted hours earlier couldn't join him. Which reminds the Mishnah states that a Ger Shnis Gar be'er Pesach, a Ger who converted on Erev Pesach, Beisham may say that he may immerse and eat his Pesach that night. And Beisila says a porch min orla, ka porch min a kever. One who separates from his orla is as one who separates from the grape. Rashi explains that he must go through the purification process of waiting 7 days and having Hazad done on the 3rd and 7th day. Rabbi Baruchan had said in the Rabbi Yochanan that Mochuks was only regarded to an orla Nachri, who converted Erev Pesach. Beisila hold, they enacted this decree, lest in the coming year he becomes tummy from a mace and I'll say to himself, did I not immerse last year on Erev Pesach and eat of the Pesach despite being exposed to the tomb of a maze? Now too, I'll immerse by day and eat the Pesach by night despite being a tummy maze. And I'll not realize that in the previous year he wasn't subject to tumas maze because he was a Nachri. Beishamay say they did not enact this decree. They do agree that in all Yisrael that had Mila Erev Pesach immerses and eats the Pesach at night. So the Onan, who was going to eat his Pesach after toveling in the mikveh full of turtles, felt bad that the Ger who converted hours earlier couldn't join him, and didn't know if his doing Shechita and Zrika for his friend stuck on a distant road would exempt his friend from a Pesach Sheni. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas and Marayim in a case where one was on a distant road too far to arrive in time to shecht the Pesach himself, and others shechted it and did Zrika's Adam on his behalf. Rav Nachman says, Hurtza, acceptance of the Pesach is affected, and he's putter from bringing a Pesach Sheni, and Rav Sheshes says, Lo Hurtza, acceptance is not affected, and he must bring a Pesach Sheni. The Gemara explains that according to Rav Nachman, who holds Hurtza, acceptance is affected, because the Torah simply took pity on him for not being able to reach Yerushalayim in time, and offered him a second chance, but if he did manage to participate in the first Pesach by having someone shechted for him, Tabo Lav Bracha, let him be blessed. Rav Sheshes, who holds Lo Hurtza, acceptance is not affected, holds that the Torah barred him from the first Pesach, just as it barred a Tame from the Pesach. The Gemara continues with each Amora bringing support for his position. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Maseches Brachos, Shabbos, and Erevin. Number 1. Which doctrine of Malchus, Rebbe and Rebbe Nassim, whether a Ger converted and a boy who became Bar Mitzvah after Pesach, need to bring a Pesach Sheni? That's on Daf. Tzadik Gimel. Good. Number 2. Which doctrine of Malchus, Tanakam, Rebbe Shimon, whether one must withdraw from a Pesach before the Shechita or before the Zrikas Adam? That's on Daf. Pay test. Good. Number 3. Which dafti machokes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Lezer, whether their chokok is from Modi'in or from outside the Azara? That's on daf. Tzadi Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which dafti learn that Jewish prisons keep to their word and let people out when they say they will? That's on daf. Tzadi Alef. Good. Number 5. Which dafti learn that an onan can tavel and eat his Pesach at night because the ton of the Mishnah holds they were not gozer aninas balayla in light of an Issacharis? That's on daf. Study base. Good. Number 6. Which daft we have Rav Nachman Rav Sheshes, whether Shechita and Zrika done on behalf of someone stuck on a distant road will exempt him from bringing a Pesach Sheni? That's on daft. Study base. Good. Number 7. Which daft we have Beisham and Beis Hill, whether a Ger that converted Erev Pesach can eat the Pesach at night? That's on daft. Study base. Good. Number 8. Which daft we have Malchus, whether one person can bring a Pesach? That's on daft. Study Aleph. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss who requires consent to be included in the Pesach? That's on daf. Peches. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we learn that a chabur can tell a member with refined hands who's taking too much food to leave and eat on his own? That's on daf. Peches. Good. Now the 3 bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we discuss Tama Schus Avos? That's on daf. Nun Hein Shabbos. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn about a mabui between the sea and a trash heap? That's on daf. Ches and Erevin. Good. And number 3, which daf do we discuss putting spaces between the words in Kriya Shema, Litan Revach Ben Advekim? That's on daf. Tez Vav and Brachas. Excellent. All right, that concludes the pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avram Golden Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.